It's Tuesday, February 22nd, and this is Market Foolery. I'm Chris Hill, and joining me in studio today from Motley Fool Stock Advisor Jason Moser, from Income Investor James Early, and from Hidden Gems Charlie Travers. Guys, good to see you.
Good to see you, Chris.
We've got the latest from Walmart and Amazon, but first, oil prices shot up to their highest level in 2 years as investors are worried about the unrest in Libya and that it could spread to Saudi Arabia. James Early, what does this mean for investors?
Well, Chris, it's been said that most of the world's oil is controlled by madmen, and that's yet to be disproven. I would say two things. First, the situation could still be resolved fairly quickly. So this could be an easy-come, easy-go situation versus some sort of longer-term demand imbalance. And even if all of Libya's oil production were shut down, it's still less than 2% of total global oil supply. But second is every dollar of increase in oil prices is going to clip the GDP of the U.S. and probably of every country by a fraction of a percentage point. And that's material. Investing-wise, that's good for oil companies, but bad for pretty much everybody else because, Chris, oil is in everything.
Jason, what does this mean for automotive stocks?
So I think that, last time oil really skyrocketed, we saw gas prices skyrocket as well. And the automakers, I think, did a pretty good job of working on changing our behavior as consumers, steering us away from the SUVs and trucks and more towards the fuel-efficient vehicles. And so they really need to, I think, continue on that trend of convincing the American consumer specifically that we don't need the SUVs, we don't need the trucks. It's just one of those things where, I mean, at the auto show, Ford, I thought, did a really good job of that. The theme of the whole show in general was fuel-efficient vehicles. But, Ford specifically, they have this C-Max vehicle, which, it's a seven-passenger vehicle that you can get in either a gas or hybrid model. So fuel efficiency, plenty of room for the family. I think if they can continue to steer American consumers towards that, they'll all benefit.
C-Max sounds like some kind of aquatic thing, is it?
No, it's just like one of those crossovers.
Either that or a rapper.
What is the, is there a limit, though, to this? I mean, is there a smallest car you would drive, Jason, and still feel manly? I mean, can they push fuel efficiency too far?
Okay, I have, wife, two kids, two dogs, and we were in the market for a new car not too terribly long ago, and we made that decision to get a Camry simply because we felt like, no, we didn't have to fall in that trap of, oh my gosh, we need an SUV, we just need all this room. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for me personally, no. I mean, I don't have a problem with a smaller car. It's not one of those things that bothers me, but I also think that I've thought that through. And we've seen sort of the perils of owning the SUV and filling up for $100, and I don't want to do that.
Speaking of gas, the price of gas in America is about $3.17 a gallon right now. This news about oil is fueling talk, no pun intended. Gas could hit $5.
I doubt that. I think it's intended.
$5 a gallon? Is that foreseeable?
It all depends, Chris, on how much the Middle East unrest grows. Just for a quick lesson, the oil prices that we pay are usually or gas prices at the pump are linked to oil prices more in Europe, ironically, than in the U.S. And Europe is closer to the Middle East in terms of where they buy their oil from. So, yes, if we have more unrest in Saudi Arabia or elsewhere, it could happen. If not, then probably not. We've actually got kind of a lot of gas or oil coming online here in this country.
All right. To be continued. Shares of Walmart fell today after the retailer posted its latest earnings. Same-store sales in the U.S. fell for the seventh consecutive quarter. Charlie, what's going on? Seven quarters in a row. That's bad.
That's pretty awful, Chris. And, interesting point about Walmart stock with today's drop, it's trading within a buck of where it was 10 years ago. So this is not done too well for investors. Great company, bad stock. At first, I thought the results might have been a tale of two economy situation. We've seen companies like Whole Foods report very strong numbers, as well as other higher end retailers. But the Walmart numbers are bad for a couple of reasons, and they are seeing less customers coming into their stores. They missed the mark on the assortment of goods they've offered. Specifically, they mentioned clothes and consumables. And then price deflation on electronics good, which is great for customers because we like to pay lower prices for TVs, but it's bad for revenue at companies like Walmart. That was kind of in line with what one of their competitors, Best Buy, reported in December, is that lower demand for TVs was also hurting their numbers. So this is an industry-wide problem, as much as the issues that are specific to Walmart.
How often are you at Walmart yourself, Charlie?
Never.
Never, okay. So you do not rank it highly as a shopping experience.
No, I actually cannot stand to shop there.
But you raise a good point, though, okay, because how often do you go to Target, for example?
If I need to buy that kind of stuff, that Target's my go-to spot.
Yeah, so I mean, is I guess I've always kind of wondered, so, I mean, are Walmart and Target competitors? Because it seems like Walmart's almost trying to change its behavior to compete a little bit more with Target, and Walmart's core customers aren't really liking
they,
that.
They did try to come up the value chain, or at least the perceived quality value with their clothes and the
and
food.
And with food, too, with organic.
Trying to get an organic. And that's not their bread and butter.
You
that's
can't
not
mess
what their,
with Whole Foods?
No, that's not what their core demographic is looking for. And they talked very frankly that they have to change their mix back. One bright point about Walmart.
And the Doritos again.
Yeah. That I do want to point out is that the international segment is doing very well for them. Overseas, it's a quarter of their revenue and is growing at 12%. So it's not like everything is bad at Walmart, but it does highlight how just wickedly competitive retail is, even for the gorilla in the industry.
As Walmart, among other things, looks to focus on smaller stores, do you think that's going to work for them?
No, and I really don't get that at all. You know, the whole point of having these super centers around the country is to be as efficient as possible with their distribution and keep the prices as low as they could. And going to a smaller footprint store kind of flies in the face of that strategy that's worked so well for them for decades.
What had been rumored is now official. Amazon announced the launch of its new video streaming service. The service will stream 5,000 movies and TV shows and is available to members of Amazon Prime, the company's $79 a year service for two-day shipping. And if that's not enough, Jason, the main page of Amazon's website features an open letter from Jeff Bezos, the CEO. He's offering a one-month free trial to Amazon Prime. I'm interested. How worried should Netflix be?
I'm interested, too. And as a Netflix customer, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, it's a shot across the bow for Netflix to you know, make sure they understand that there is competition in the sector. But as it stands now, I mean, these are two completely exclusive services. I mean, you can have Amazon's Prime relationship and Netflix service as well. I mean, you may not really want to get any streaming services from Amazon, but you're still going to use their shipping, for example, and you can still get your videos from Netflix. Now, Netflix has a catalog of videos which is essentially four times as big as Amazon's. I don't see how initially Amazon can really compete there, but you make a good point. That open letter from Bezos, which is essentially saying, come try it, just give it a shot, let's get the relationship started, because they know that once they get that started, it's that sticky kind of relationship that once you're paying for it, you don't even know that you're paying for it. And that's kind of that argument I was talking to Charlie here about Netflix just shortly ago, where that's basically $7.99 that goes on my Amex every month that I don't even see. I don't ever even notice it's there. We have it. It's a nice thing to use. But, you know, Netflix is considerably smaller than Amazon, and that's the scary part. Consumers, of course, benefit tremendously from it because it gives us more choices. But as it stands now, I mean, I think Amazon's really just trying to figure out how they might be able to compete in this market.
James?
Now, speaking of choices, though, aren't the Amazon DVDs just these kind of older reject movies like you get from the $4 bargain bin at the Walmart? I mean, I've heard they're not the current ones like Netflix has.
I mean, if you look at
you're
Netflix
talking about the 5,000 movies.
Correct. Yeah, these are the 5,000 movies.
I would think so. And I mean, Charlie actually had checked it out before.
I did,
what was your impression
there? As like you guys, I was interested in this new Amazon offer as a compliment potentially to my current Netflix subscription, which I've been a happy member of for a long time. And like James was saying, this is the kind of stuff you would find in a Sam Goody clearance sale. I mean, this is really not
sounds
compelling.
Like you know.
Yeah, and it's not enough to even, you know, if it was, you know, the $6.50 a month is what it works out to, it's the offering is not compelling enough for me to switch even for that little money.
Right. And I mean, I think that's the key, is it's not yet. And who knows what's going to happen. I mean, when you look at digital music, for example, and Apple essentially went in there and they set the tone from the very beginning. So they pretty much own that sector with iTunes, and distributors know that if they don't get their music in through iTunes, that probably people aren't going to see it. At least with Amazon now, there is the possibility of some more distribution there with Hulu out there. I mean, it's not just a Netflix game anymore, and that's going to be the interesting thing to watch.
I think this distribution is hurting the movie studios more than it helps. People assume that monetizing their library through all these new channels was going to make them more money, but it's turning into a commoditization process, I think.
It is, but it's also giving the studios a little bit of a ray of hope there, because they know that they're really not going to just necessarily have to deal with Netflix anymore. I mean, there is that competition, I think, is going to benefit studios, because regardless of what happens, I mean, the digitization of this, the streaming method of getting these videos is going to happen. and it's either going to be Netflix or it's going to be a few players.
Charlie?
The competition specter has been hanging over Netflix for many, many years. And the reason they keep winning is that their customer experience is unmatched. And if you look at the Amazon Prime listing right now, they have a long way to go to catch up to the slick interface that Netflix has. And if they really want to be serious about this, they've got to invest in that customer experience. I love Amazon. I buy a lot from them. They're just not there in digital media.
So 5 years from now, who's a bigger player in streaming video? Is it Netflix or Amazon?
I think it's still Netflix.
Jason?
Yeah, no question, Netflix.
I'm going to flip the question and say in 7 to 10 years is Amazon. I don't know about 5 years.
And one more time around the table, last great movie you rented? You got a recommendation for me, Charlie?
So it's not a movie, but I do like to watch TV shows through Netflix. And the one I'm watching right now is catching up on Firefly, you know, the kind of cult favorite sci-fi show from earlier in this decade.
Jason?
You know, I was going to have to initially go with with The Princess and the Frog here as a shout-out to my girls. But then I realized, after you mentioned Helen Mirren, that my wife and I rented Red just maybe a couple of weeks ago, and I really liked that. That was a pretty fun movie to watch.
I pretty much mention Helen Mirren every week, like once a week. Helen Mirren's on my mind for one reason
There's
or another.
There's nothing wrong with that.
James?
I would say Spring Break Booty Call, but it's actually not the last movie I've rented. It's been so long that I really do not know. I'm not a movie guy. I just don't have the time to watch them.
What do you do when you leave the studio? I mean, are you just
communing
with nature?
I spend a lot of time in nature.
You were asking something about trees earlier, weren't you, Chris?
Well, he's a member of the National Conifer
American Conifer Society.
American Conifer Society. James is like a hardcore tree guy.
Hanging at the Arboretum.
I guess.
It's a good place.
Charlie Travers,
they
Jason
chopped
Moser.
Down some of my favorite trees. You know, that's a certain genus of trees. Budget cuts, and I'm not going to forgive them for that. But, you know, hey.
James Early, Jason Moser. Charlie Travers, guys, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
As always, people on the program may have interest in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy or sell stocks based solely on what you hear. That's it for this edition of Market Foolery. Our producer is Matt Greer. I'm Chris Hill. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Budget cuts, they're cutting down trees. Why don't they
sorry to interrupt. That didn't go well. I think.
No, but I mean, why don't they just leave them be?
Yeah, I came there, and it's like the stumps, you know? I was like, what's going on? They were going to chop down this whole azalea mountain. One guy donated like 30,000 azaleas like a long time ago, and it's like this big spring attraction. I think they were doing it just as like kind of cut off your nose, spite your face to try to get private donations, and some guy donated some money and let them keep it. But they were going to like just chop it all down just as like a spiteful gesture because they're angry at their funding.